Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia, a production of iHeartRadio.
We sold our loft in Chicago, moved into an RV, and now we're traveling the country full-time with our dog, Finn, exploring America's national parks.
And today, we're really excited to bring to you our first episode of Traveling Eats with Matt.
Yes, I'm so excited. So this is a little kind of mini bonus episode series inspired by, you know, how obsessed and interested I am in restaurants and food. That's how I started as a professional writer, mostly with a food focus. So this has been something I've been at least interested in for a long time, since I was in culinary school in Chicago. So it's an important piece for when we're traveling and wherever we are, if we're in a city, a town, around a national park, I always put a lot of effort into researching great local restaurants to check out, bars, whether it's from a historical perspective or just like getting a local taste of that culture or that region. So,
and I love reaping the benefits of this.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. So I can't think of a better topic to start with than Disney World, because not only do we talk about Disney World a ton and reference it on the podcast, but you and I are fresh off just about 3 months of staying right near Disney and spending a lot of time there. So we were there for the duration of Epcot Food and Wine. You were working at it, selling maple syrup. And that was from August 29th through November 23rd. Good chunk of time. But we arrived before August 29th.
Yeah, we were there for like 100 days.
Yes,
so
we were.
Like a third of a year, or almost a fourth of a year, over a fourth of a year.
Right, which is, I mean, I can't think of a better place to spend that much time than Disney World. So at this point, I have especially eaten my way around all the parks and beyond. So
yes,
I can definitely speak to it. And I want to start by clarifying that this is not about Orlando. Orlando and Disney World are, they get lumped in together. They're frequently kind of synonymous, but they are totally different places. They're like 18, 20 miles apart. It's a $30 Lyft ride to get from one to the other. I can attest to that.
Because you've done it multiple times a week because you wanted to try the differences between Disney World and Orlando and just experience the whole culture of the food.
And they're so different. And Orlando's dining scene is incredible, so I don't want to blur them all together here. That's actually deserves to have its own episode later. But this is all about Disney World, which, contrary to what a lot of people might think, it's not all Mickey-shaped pretzels and churros and stuff like that. There are plenty of those, and they're delicious. But Disney World has so much to offer, and I was delighted by our experience here and the different restaurants and kind of food stalls at the parks, and then Disney Springs, and even some of the hotels have great dining options as well, which are all destination-worthy. So I think it makes the most sense to divvy this little episode into the different parks, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, because that's obviously where we spent the bulk of our time.
And then also adding in Disney Springs, right? We can't skip that.
Yeah, that was a huge pleasant surprise. I'm obsessed with that place. But I want to talk about the best food options and highlights at each park, starting with the most iconic one, Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
And I'm starting with that because it's my least favorite for food, so it's only going to go up for here. Magic Kingdom, I have some issues. I love it. It's the most nostalgic. It's probably my favorite park for like rides and nostalgia, but the food is just not nearly as kind of amazing as the other three. It seems a little dated, or a lot dated, and the lack of bars is an issue.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you can't drink everywhere.
No,
or
they
like
make
anywhere.
It so difficult. Anywhere. They make it really hard. And unlike the other three parks, which like have alcohol everywhere, like coffee shops have it, and Magic Kingdom makes it really like annoyingly difficult, which is aggravating because it's the most crowded. And if I'm going to be like, you know, bouncing my way through a sea of strollers and waiting in line for 2 hours, like the least they could do is not make it impossible to get a beer.
Exactly.
But no. And not only that, but they have places with names that sound like bars, like Gaston's Tavern and the Enchanted Tiki Room, that sound like bars, but they're not. So it's misleading. So with that out of the way, I've been stewing on that
rant
for 3 months.
Yeah, way too much right now.
Right. There are some gems here. I think the best full-service restaurant is Skipper's Canteen. The full name is Jungle Navigation Company, Skipper's Canteen. It's the restaurant nearby and inspired by the Jungle Cruise ride, which
is
great.
We went there with your mom, right?
We did, yeah. We had to wait for like an hour for a lunch seating, but it was worth it. The food is really good. And the full service restaurants at Magic Kingdom are also the only places where you can get alcohol. So keep that in mind. But this place was wonderful. It had a really fun, like, Jungle Trek vibe. The people who worked there were really into it, like, nonstop jokes and, like, quirky jungle references and stuff like that. A lot of fun. And then the food is really adventurous. Like, you're, like, on a, you know, jungle journey with pretty eclectic dishes like corn pancakes with beer-braised pork and pepper salsa and avocado cream. Loved. They were kind of like open-faced sliders with corn pancakes.
Yes.
So good.
Absolutely delicious.
Right. And then we had Brazilian cheese bread.
My favorite.
And then shrimp dumplings as well. I think there were pork and shrimp dumplings. So we had like an array of snacks and some wine, and it was really yummy. So I would recommend that. Make reservations for that one if you can, because it is popular. And then the other kind of main iconic dining destination at Magic Kingdom is Be Our Guest, which is the Beauty and the Beast restaurant. It's inside the Beauty and the Beast castle in Fantasyland. And that was very hard to get into. It took me like 2 months to get a reservation for just me.
Yeah.
And even when you have a reservation, you're waiting in line, like meandering through the castle, making your order, finding a seat. And I think most of the charm here, or all the charm, is the, like, just the ambiance, because it's very theatrical and regal. Obviously, you're in a castle. Mm-hmm. The dining rooms are gorgeous. So ornate. There are three different dining spaces. You can dine in, like, the like, kind of west wing or whatever.
Where
it's, like, dark and ominous with the rose. And then there's, like, the ballroom. And then there's the, like, main dining room where Belle gets serenaded in the movie. And I sat in the ballroom, which I thought was the prettiest and most lavish. The food is like French-ish. It's like French-American because the movie takes place in France, even though no one speaks French in the movie. My favorite part, though, was they have this cupcake, basically. It's like a chocolate cupcake, and they call it the gray stuff, like from the movie Lumiere's, like, try the gray stuff. Mm. It's delicious. And it's basically just like a gray-colored buttercream frosting, which doesn't look great. Like, it's gray is not an appealing flavor or thing you want to eat, but it was great. It was my favorite part of the meal, for sure, the gray stuff. It was delicious. And the other thing that I think I really enjoyed eating at Magic Kingdom was they have this, like, spring roll stall, which, when I was there, was stationed kind of permanently right by the entrance to Adventureland. And they do spring rolls filled with things like cheeseburger and pepperoni pizza. And
love it.
Really yummy. Yeah, so you get two per order. And it's a good, like, on-the-go snack. And I thought it was shockingly good. I didn't try them until, like, we were already there for 2 months. And I was like, what have I been wasting my time?
My favorite meal eating in Magic Kingdom are still the Mickey ears.
You still love the Mickey ears. Well, Magic Kingdom, they don't set a very high bar with food. So the Mickey ears.
No. It's not the same for every park for me as well.
No. So that's Magic Kingdom. We'll leave that there. And then moving on to another kingdom, Animal Kingdom.
My favorite park.
It's a great park. It's beautifully designed. The ambiance in all the different sections, like Africa and Asia and the dinosaur land, phenomenal. It's all beautifully done. And the food and drinks, I think, match that as well. They put a lot of effort into it, and it looks good, tastes great. So when you're going to Animal Kingdom, the first thing you should do is make a beeline to Creature Comforts, which is basically a decked-out Starbucks. It is a Starbucks, but kind of wrapped to look like this individual, like, jungly place.
Yeah, and you got to get your morning coffee, right?
Got to get coffee, yeah. So do that first. And then later in the day, I think for lunch, my favorite place is in the Pandora section, the newer section of the park where the Avatar ride is.
Love it.
Yeah, so I'm not sure open it. Satuli Canteen. It's right outside, like, the main attraction there, the main ride.
Yeah, we ate there multiple times together.
I loved it. It was so good. So it's like customizable bowls, essentially. You pick your base, pick your protein sauce, and then go from there.
Or you can get, like, a whole platter for 6 to 8 people for, like, $75, which is a great price when you think about it.
Yeah,
because it has all of those different meats and proteins and, you know, all that.
Yes. So you can get noodles, you can get rice. My favorite is getting the hearty salad as a base because it's like very nourishing, very hard. You get like broccoli and cauliflower and like leafy greens. And then weirdly, they add boba, like popping boba pearls on top of it. Like,
love it.
Okay. But it kind of works, I guess. And then I like the wood grilled chicken because they give you a lot of it. The portion is like very generous. And then pair that with one of their green beers. It's like green bluish and it's somewhat hoppy. It's kind of like an IPA, which is my favorite. So it's basically their avatar beer. And that restaurant's a must. And then for something like in the evening, the cocktails and snacks at the Nomad Lounge are fantastic.
Love the Nomad Lounge.
Yes.
That's where I first met Chef Al, who was the executive chef for Tiffin's and Nomad. And that's where our maple syrup was featured at Burton's Maplewood Farm.
There
that's
you go.
When we got to go there. That was my first time going to Disney.
Yeah, so Anne Lookin was your first experience.
And it was. And it was such one of those like immersive experiences. Mm. But they're just... They have so many amazing things in Animal Kingdom, and ever since then, Chef Al has been promoted to food and beverage director over Epcot, and he does all of the things in Epcot, including food and wine and festivals and all that fun stuff, and so just really amazing to see how, you know, he was promoted within the company, but
sorry, that's huge.
I know this is a very large sidetrack from what's really important, the food and cocktails at Nomad Lounge.
Yeah, they're definitely noteworthy. They have really solid drinks, really good food. We always get the like bread service, and it's like this tray of different breads inspired by different countries across the world. They have like an Indian pancake like flatbread. The best is the pomegranate focaccia.
Yes.
So tasty. And then it's served with these different like chutneys and sauces and yogurts. So great. I could just like go here, have that, and some cocktails.
Yeah, that spicy coriander yogurt is so good, especially when you mix it with that tomato chutney.
Yeah, it's a good idea to mix and then like kind of customize each bite because why not? And then the cocktails are really good too. They're all like they have different sections of the menu. There's like the Asia section. There's cocktails inspired by Africa. So it kind of mimics the layout of the park too. And you have drinks like the Night Monkey, which has dark rum, guava puree, coffee syrup, lime juice, and cilantro. Kind of a wild mix of flavors there, but it works.
Beautifully blended.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. And then right next door to the Nomad Lounge is the more formal full-service restaurant called Tiffin's. So it's all kind of in the same building. Nomad Lounge is more casual, bar side with a nice patio or nice deck.
Yeah.
And then Tiffin's is where we most recently ate here on our anniversary.
That's right. We did. Our anniversary was fully packed with multiple parks.
Yeah, we were park hopping. And then this is where we ended the day with dinner at Tiffin's. So you get kind of a more expanded version of the offerings at Nomad Lounge. And that's drink-wise, also food-wise. So you have like really intricate, impressive dishes like falafel with mint pistachio pesto. And we had charred octopus with chorizo and tapenade.
Stop that right there was to die for.
Yeah.
And the good thing is this is like included in the Disney dining plan if you're going there on a vacation. We weren't. You know, you can definitely make reservations here.
Yeah. So Tiffin's excellent. If you want kind of the classy full service dining experience, I think it's one of the best in like all of Disney World. And then moving on from Animal Kingdom, there's Hollywood Studios, which is another place I hold near and dear to my nostalgic heart. I love it there. And few places really capture that nostalgia in Americana quite like the Hollywood Brown Derby, which is so great. We went there. That was the very first thing we did when we got our, like, Disney passes.
Yeah, we just went in. Like, we bought them and were like, well, we should just go, right? And it was, like, 2 hours before the park closed or 3 hours before the park closed. And it was, perfect.
We made a mad dash to the Brown Derby. It's just a gorgeous, like, old, like, I don't know, 1920s Hollywood-style restaurant with, like, framed photos or, like, they're probably fake photos because there's thousands of them here. And it's this big, like, decadent dining room with great food. You have, like, Cobb salads and scallops and stuff like that. And martinis, excellent martinis. You can get them in a flight.
Poured tableside.
Recommended. Yeah, Manhattans, really solid Manhattans. And it's wonderful. So do that. Also, for something more casual, if you just want like a drink and a snack or something, there's Baseline Tap House, and they have all California-inspired stuff. They have an impressive roster of California beers on tap, as well as California wines on tap, and then even a couple of cocktails.
Yes.
Like a margarita. And then those change and rotate. I think they all do, but it's mostly like beer. They even have a cider, and then they have snacks like charcuterie and a pretzel. So not really a meal type place, but great to get a drink on the go. And then right next door to that, another like whimsical, wonderful place we went as well is the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater.
That was such an immersive experience.
I mean,
the experiences that you feel at all these are different. Like the Brown Derby, you feel royal and regal. You know, Baseline Tap, it's just like cool and breezy, like California. And
yeah.
Then when you get to this one, you immerse yourself into a drive-in theater.
Yeah, I felt like a kid again. Because I remember going here as a kid. It's like this outdoor drive-in theater vibe with like twinkling stars all over the ceiling and then black and white movies. So I felt exactly like a child, except a child who drinks Pinot Grigio because that's what we did. And
by the bottle.
Yeah, right. It was great. So make a reservation there because they're all like little cars. You like literally sit in these like kind of fake cars, which totally adds to the ambiance. And those are popular, unsurprisingly, so they tend to fill up. And then the other highlight at Hollywood Studios more recently is the Star Wars section called Galaxy's Edge.
Love it.
That opened like a few days after we arrived to Disney World, so
yes, it did.
That's still new. I went on opening day.
Yeah, you're crazy.
That was insane. Big mistake, honestly. Like, I thought it would be fun and like an experience to do that on opening day. And
it is.
Five-hour lines.
20 years from now, when you forget about the lines, you'll be like, I was there on opening
day.
And you'll brag about it.
And it was fun.
Believe me.
I did like very little things because I can only wait in like 1 5-hour line. I'm not going to do other things.
But no.
It was cool to see. They did a great job with the design of the land here. And in addition to the ride, they have some really interesting and inventive dining options.
Like Milk Stand.
That's good.
I love it. That's just like such a creamy, beautiful cocktail.
So they're kind of like, they're not milkshakes. They're more like rice. So it's dairy-free. They're made with a rice milk base. And they're kind of like rice milk smoothies. One is green. One is blue. Those are the only two options on the menu. You can get the blue milk or the green milk. One, I think the green is like more kind of tropical flavor. The blue has more of a coconut kind of creaminess.
Yeah, and one's with rum and one's with tequila, right?
You can add that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend that. And then across the way from Milk Stand is the much more popular bar that is difficult to get into because it's so popular. It's called Oga's Cantina.
Yes.
So great. It's really fun. It's
we did this on our anniversary.
We did. We started our day here. We went to the cantina and had rum cocktails at 6:30 in the morning.
Should we tell people that?
I mean,
that's just like,
we are, yeah.
But when you walk in, it feels like this party.
You walk into this cave and then it's all dark and lively, like a cantina from the Star Wars movies, you know, bursting with life and energy.
And there's like a DJ.
There's a DJ at 6:30. So if the DJ's here, so are the cocktails. And that was the first time in my life, hopefully the last time, that I had cocktails with oatmeal.
Yeah.
So
that was rough.
That was a day.
But it was delicious. I mean, I'm not going to
say.
I mean, our whole, like, breakfast meal was really expensive.
Very expensive. It was the most expensive breakfast and the weirdest breakfast.
Yeah.
But we got
tiki mugs and things like that as
great
well.
Great mugs.
So,
yeah.
The first edition.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was able to go back, like, a month or two later and go here at a normal hour and have drinks when it's socially acceptable to do so. And when I did that, I got this really epic beer flight.
Yes.
And you try, I think it's 4 or 5 different beers, and they're served in this gorgeous and really like elaborate wooden fixture with what's meant to be like alien teeth or something as the...
Almost looks like a saber tooth.
As the glassware. Yeah, so they use the teeth to pour the beer into, and you drink out of that. And then it's a souvenir. You get to keep the whole thing. It weighs like 30 pounds.
I mean, it's not like it was cheap either.
No.
You bought it.
No. You've been listening to Parklandia. We'll be right back after this break. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia.
And today we're talking about all the great food and drink at Disney World in Florida. So that's Hollywood Studios. And then the big one for dining of all the parks is absolutely Epcot.
Yeah.
This is a place where you dine around the world, drink around the world, and it's amazing and enthralling. And so many of the restaurants are legitimately wonderful.
Spent 87 days here, almost all of them there. And I got to go to a lot of, like, you know, for lunches, I went out and grabbed things, and mm-hmm. then we went back multiple times. But I would say that you went here more than any other park.
Easily, yeah. And it's just, like, probably my favorite park because as an adult, they have much more things oriented for that.
Yeah, and foods and cultures and histories.
So here are my, like, kind of quick hit favorites at Epcot for dining and drinking. There's a great buffet at Beer Garden Restaurant in Germany. So much food, you can go nuts. And then I would recommend getting full beer pours at Block and Hans in the America section.
Yes, like my favorite, yep. Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale beer.
Yes, they also have IPA. Even they have Goose Island.
They have Milk
Chicago
Stout.
Chicago Fave. Yeah.
Another.
Good options.
Great. It was meant for me, that whole thing.
That's a good one.
I guess I'm just plainly American.
That's the best thing for beer, I think. And then the Mexico section is really solid. They have this place inside this big pyramid called La Cava del Tequila. So it's their, like, dark, cozy little tequila cave. Great mezcal selection and tequila. And they have things like mezcal Negronis and a whole variety of margaritas, including, like, avocado margaritas, nice and creamy and a little sweet, delicious. And then heaping platters of chips and salsa and guacamole. Very generous portions.
Don't start here, though, because
you won't
get a little bit buzzy.
Yeah.
Because they are beautifully done heavy cocktails. Mm-hmm. So make sure to do that in the middle or towards the end of your trip.
Right. I would also recommend getting scotch eggs and black and tans or maybe fish and chips or something at the Rose and Crown Pub in the UK.
Every time we had to go there.
That place is just fantastic. I'm obsessed with the decor and everything in the UK section here. It's really wonderful. And then also, we loved getting charcuterie and cheese and wine flights at Tutto Gusto Wine Cellar in Italy. That was charming and just really, really fun.
Yeah.
It's nice to snack.
That was beautiful. It was perfect.
And I also love the Nigerian meat pies, which is from this, like, Africa section in the park. They didn't have, like, a full-service restaurant there, but it's, like, this casual, like, walk-up counter where you can get Nigerian meat pies. They also have, like, a dessert of some sort. At the time, it was a Lion King-themed panna cotta, but wasn't really feeling that.
I miss food and wine.
I know. So food and wine, that's a whole thing in and of itself. It's this, like, nearly three-month-long festival where it's Epcot just, like, times 100.
Because they bring in, like, 38 additional booths for food and snacks, and they're all, like, snack, like, bites at, like, priced at, like, $5.50 on average.
Yeah, not bad.
But it's good because, like, each you and the other person that you're with, hopefully, can each, like, get a good bite and, like, good taste of that. It's a really good place to go share things.
Right. So in addition to all this wonderful stuff that's there year-round, all these restaurants, they add all these other countries with these mini kind of smaller stands, everything from, like, Australia to Thailand to Brazil, Belgium. It's a lot. They're kind of situated and scattered all over the World Pavilion here, World Showcase. And my favorites from Food and Wine were the chicken teriyaki bao buns from the Japan, the Brazilian cheese bread, again, from Brazil. I love there's these charcuterie and, like, cheese cones from Spain.
I saw those. They look so great, and I just did not get a chance to try them.
They're great. There was escargot croissants from France, which also gets points for being the craziest, but it was good. It was, like, garlicky. They had, like, this herb pesto thing on top.
I'll go for it.
Yeah. Then boozy mango lassis from India, and they spike that with chai liqueur, which is so yummy and creamy and just the perfect amount of spice. And then hummus fries from Morocco, which was really interesting as well.
They really are.
Yeah.
Those were beautiful. And they're, like, thick fries, mm-hmm. almost
thick
like
fries.
Mozzarella cheese stick.
Yeah, they
thick,
were. They were, like, more like fries. Mozzarella sticks than
but
French fries.
Beautiful.
So that's Epcot. That's Epcot Food and Wine. And then, like we mentioned, the real surprise stunner here of all this is Disney Springs, which I had not done prior to going here this time. And this is not one of the it's part of Disney World. It's more of, like, the shopping, dining, retail place with like a movie theater and bowling alley. It's near Epcot.
It used to be called Downtown Disney.
Yes.
And now it's Disney Springs because it is. It's more uplifted, a lot more great like restaurants and cocktails.
Phenomenal.
A lot of our friends, Chef Art Smith, Rick Bayless,
Chicago
a lot
people.
Of these amazing Chicago-based chefs and restaurants are here.
So good. Yeah. And it's huge. It's a sprawling shopping and dining complex. And we've been multiple times and didn't even go to like a quarter of the places here probably. But it's wonderful. And we loved so much of it. I think our favorite was probably Homecoming, which was Art Smith.
Yeah, we've been there like five times. You just leave there with your soul full.
Yeah. It's like Southern comfort, deliciousness in a really beautiful building.
And Chef Art, he used to be Oprah's private chef. And
that's
so...
Right.
Now
so he knows what he's doing.
Bringing that good food to the world, and it's just a really inspiring place to go. And we went with so many people. People came in from out of town. We said we got to go here.
Down here, getting fried chicken, deviled eggs, and hummingbird cake. All of it. Mm, that was a good one. I also loved this like wild place called the Edison. This like sprawling 2-story restaurant and bar that's like has a steampunk vibe and.
Yes.
It's just insane. They have like theatrical components and people doing acrobatics from the ceiling. And then like employees here just randomly walking around on stilts for some reason.
It's such a wonderful experience to go there.
It is. Great cocktails.
Yes. Innovative for sure.
Innovative cocktails, which are right up our alley. So good for that. And then we also loved this place called The Polite Pig, which is more casual. It gets hopping like later in the evening. So go for lunch or like an early dinner. So it's barbecue. And they have great like pulled pork and brisket and the like barbecue glaze, fried chicken sandwiches and stuff like that. But the real winner is probably the best Manhattan cocktail we had at Disney World. It was solid and delicious. And I would go there just to sit at the bar and have that.
Absolutely.
Like, snack on some fried chicken sliders or something like that. And that's a good way to go. And then I think the last one to shout out that was noteworthy that we loved was this place called Enzo's Hideaway. This like tunnel, they call it a tunnel bar. It's this kind of quasi-underground Italian speakeasy or, you know, it kind of looks like if Olive Garden was the speakeasy, but like the food.
But way better.
The food is better.
Like Negronis and the wine.
Great wine selection.
Absolutely.
Cheese boards, stuff like that. But again, wildly popular. We tried to go back with my sister, and they were like, it'll be 2 hours. We're like, never mind.
And did you mention Frontera?
Oh, yeah. Rick Bayless's restaurant.
We cannot forget Rick Bayless's restaurant. And what's really cool is when I was working in farmers markets in Chicago, and when we were going to different restaurants, you know, we really met Greg and Leah Gunthorpe. And they actually provide Rick with their chorizo, the special chorizo made for Rick. And it's
good stuff.
It's one of the best appetizers on that menu.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely have to jump by there and enjoy all the delicious foods that Rick has.
Yeah. So these are some highlights from here. As you can see, I could just go on and on and on and make really a whole podcast about this. But Disney World has so much, not only to do ride-wise and attraction-wise, but the food at all the parks at Disney Springs is phenomenal. And it's come a long way since, I'm sure, like when I went there as a kid, not that I was like paying much attention to that, but it's become really like an attraction in and of itself, the dining scene and the drinking scene at Disney World. And
absolutely.
Yes, you should definitely go here and branch out from the Mickey pretzels. Those are
I
good.
Can't.
Treat yourself now and again, but like branch out because there's a whole Disney World of flavor to explore.
You've been listening to Parklandia, a show about national parks.
Parklandia is a production of iHeartRadio.
Created by Matt Kerouac, Brad Kerouac, and Christopher Hasiotis.
Produced and edited by Mike Johns.
Our executive producer is Christopher Hasiotis.
Our researcher is Jesslyn Shields.
A special thanks goes out to Gabriel Collins, Crystal Waters, and the rest of the Parklandia crew.
And hey, listeners, if you're enjoying the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people like you find our show.
You can keep up with us on social media as well. Check out our photos from our travels on Instagram at Parklandia Pod and join in on the conversation in our Facebook group, Parklandia Rangers.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And as always, thank you for listening.